Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. The time is now 6:01 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:01 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is September the 24th, 2022, and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. I'm your host, Mike G, Michael Gay, and happy Saturday to each and every one of you, and thank you for joining us. We have some topics we're going to talk about today. Of course, we're going to dabble into a little bit of the politics, you know, what's happening in the political world, because every day there's something to laugh about. Every day there's something to laugh about, you know. And then you got to laugh to keep from crying, because some of it's kind of scary, you know. We're going to get into some of the political things that are going on, and some current events, some interesting news. A police officer that, he's a canine. Well, he had a canine dog. He had his personal dogs, and he, quote, got rid of his personal dogs in the most unhumane way, but he wasn't charged. How could that be? We're going to talk about it later on the show. And something that popped in my mind, and I said, well, let's talk about this too, regarding relationships. Now, I want to get your opinion on this one, because, you know, everybody, there's a lot of relationship shows. We don't do too much on relationships, but I said, let's dabble into this one here. Is it okay to be friends with your ex another relationship? Let me try that again. Is it okay for you and your ex, or Betty, or either way, is it okay for your ex to, or let's say your lady or your man, is it okay for them to still be friends with their ex while they're in a relationship with you? Is that okay? Is that wrong? I feel like there's something going on. I want to hear people's opinion on that. Now, already, I've talked to a few folks, and some said, no, that's not okay. You know, you're supposed to leave it behind. You're supposed to let it go. Let the past go. Well, let's look at the different situations here. Let's say, for instance, this is your ex-wife, and you guys have kids, you know. Do you try to stay friends for the kids? I want to get you guys' opinion on this topic, but we're not going to do it right now. We'll do it later on in the show. All right, so let me go ahead and open some microphones. Hey, waving the hand all the way from K California. It is Simon Shield. What's up, Simon?
Hey, what up, Mike?
All right. How's things going in Cali?
Man, it's hot. I'm sitting outside in my car because I'm at a birthday party. And
Okay.
So my girl, I had to do this podcast. I'm going to step out to my car.
Okay, so, yeah. I appreciate you doing that. I thought you probably said, I thought you were going to tell me a story, something like, my AC's broken, so I had to get in the car and crank up the engine. You know, I thought you were going to give me one of them type of stories. You know,
no, cool off. No. I'm sitting out here in Moore Park, California. And her grandson is having a birthday party, and I said, okay, I'll be out there. And I just let her know I'm going to step out to the car and do this podcast.
All right. Well, I truly appreciate you spending a little time. Yeah, I truly appreciate it. So I want to touch on these things that are going on in the political world. What is going on? And not just Donald Trump, okay? I'm not just going to talk about the Donald Trump fiasco. But, even we touch on Mr. Walker, Herschel Walker, some of the things he's said, because it's coming close for him to debate, coming close for that. Was this a really good idea for his attorneys to ask for this special individual to look into this whole thing, and now it's kind of like slapping them in the face? What's your take on this?
Who is this?
Because who
are we talking about?
Talking
about Trump?
We're talking about, Trump. But as far as, you know, where they wanted, what do you call it, the special?
Special master.
The special master. But now it seemed like that wasn't a good idea for them to request that, right? Because he's not playing the game the way they wanted him to. Am I right?
Well, he didn't expect, even though he was appointed by Trump and he is a Republican, Trump is always guessing that everybody will be loyal to him and him only. But that's not how that works.
Right.
They're Republican, but they're for the people. They're for the people of the United States. It's not about you, you know. And so when you do that, one, he was kind of late on the special master anyway, because the special master should have came within the first week if you were going to ask for him. He waited 2.5 weeks to ask for a special master. The only way he got the things that he got was because of the judge, the woman, Judge Cannon did that, okay?
Right.
So when he got the special master, and the guy said, okay, you say this is, you declassified. They said, yes, I did. Well, show me how you did that. Now, the question is, the very thing that will get them all in trouble, when Trump says, well, I did it in my mind, guess what? Those lawyers cannot say, oh, yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. They can't, because if they do, they'll be disbarred, because it's a lie. They can't back him. They cannot. They cannot. Whatever Trump says, the lawyers cannot back, because if it's not true, they can. They will get in trouble for perjury, and they will also lose their bar. They'll be disbarred. So, you know, he's in a very tough situation. So when they're done, because that's why they took it to the 11th Circuit Court. The 11th Circuit Court looked at what the judge that was for Trump, and they said, girl, what you doing? There's no special privilege or executive privilege. He's not in office. You only get executive privilege when you're in office. You're not in office. He has none. But I'm here to tell you, though, Mike, no matter what they say, the people who there's over two-thirds of Americans that believe that Trump did not do anything wrong.
Well, hold tight on that thought real quick, because I got to open up. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was thinking before I went on air today. I was thinking about, you know, as I said, Herschel Walker and the things he said, the things that Trump said, which I have a clip of what Trump said, and I believe I have the clip that Herschel Walker said. But before we get into that, let me go ahead and open up another mic. It is the lady of the house who is here with us. So please welcome Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
I agree with everything you said. The judge that Trump appointed was somebody he appointed after he lost the election, and she was trying to show favoritism. But the circuit court and the master shut her down. She got egg on her face because the master was like, show me the proof. If you can't show me the proof, then I'm just going to go on and let them do it. So then here comes the circuit court. Tom, and I actually believe the circuit court already had their brief, their thing already made up, because they only didn't even take a day to turn it back around.
Right.
To say that they can get those documents. Because it's a security risk. Those are classified, top secret documents. And you can't sit there and act like you don't know anything about it, or it's yours. It's not anybody. It's mine, because I just said I can just think about it and it's declassified. This would be
good. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let's pause just a moment, because I think a lot of the listeners probably don't know about what had occurred, or probably didn't hear, because, you know, I mean, granted, a lot of folks are turned off by the media, by the news, which we'll talk about that later on. I love when folks say, well, you know, it's the media does this. Well, you know, media is not just your TV news. Media, it comes in a lot of forms and fashions. It comes just like where we are part of the media. You got radio media, you got print media, you got all kinds of media, but that's a different topic. But I want everybody to hear, because, and I did not doctor this or anything, listen to what Donald Trump said during an interview with Sean Hannity, one of his biggest supporters.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Let's take a listen. We'll be right back.
So let me ask you this question, because I think this is the next logical question, because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case, a president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yeah.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it, and there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything. Now, I declassified things, and we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA is a radical left group of people running that thing, and when you send documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again. There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace?
Now, hold on a minute. Hold on. Before y'all chime in, I know I hear some of you kind of like Kiki and Ha-Ha in the background, but you can send them any place once you declassify them. You know what? He might be right. Even
Stop
though
it, Mike.
He said he
Stop it, Mike.
He was thinking about it. You can send them any place. Yeah, you can. So if we notice how he said, the way I understand it, the way he understands it. So that's kind of like saying,
Naira,
well, the way it was told to me.
Naira is not a liberal place. It's for any president. National Archives is for any president. It's not, you don't change everybody because it's a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal. They're neutral.
I'm trying to understand, but my point is this, is that where the thinking about declassifying it, thinking about it, there isn't really a process. The process has been existing long before he was president. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. So let me open up another mic. And I do believe I know who this is. Please say hello to our brother. You know, security always has to come and check up on the house. Hello to our brother, Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey, family. How y'all
hey,
doing?
Hey, Crenshaw. Good, good.
Hey, Tom and hey, Janet. My apologies. I've been going through a lot, but I'm still trying to stick in there when I can.
We appreciate you, my brother. You know, always. What's your thoughts on the thinking about declassifying?
Well, there was a couple of statements he made in there, and he kind of caught himself when he said sending to Mar-a-Lago or any other place. So he caught himself before he could tell where he sent stuff to. But, you know, it just a true sign that either he's an idiot or he's good at playing an idiot. Because he has no sense. None.
Right. And Timon had said just a moment ago, which I had already thought about, you know, we are in awe and we're amazed at the things that he says. But the scary part is that people believe it. And people are going along with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary part, that people are saying,
you know,
oh, you know, they should have never went to Mar-a-Lago and they should have never took that. He had every right to have them. No, he didn't.
Listen.
You know how to get people to stop believing everything he say, Mike? All these people that believe everything that Trump is saying, they need to do an infomercial like they do for campaigning and politics. They need to start off with things from American soldiers, family members, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, going off to World War II. Then the bombing of Hiroshima. Then coming back from Vietnam, the soldiers, the mental illnesses, the mindset of them. Then they need to show Desert Storm and 9/11, the people that was killed over there. And then they need to show a scattered office room of top secret documents and Trump saying, hey, Putin, do me a favor. They'll stop damn believing him then because they'll be able to put it all together.
But here's the sad part. What you just said is true. But some of the people that believe him served in the military, went through all that, and still
they didn't lose anybody.
But when you are part of the military, when you're part of the military and you have top secret clearance, you know what it means to bring a document to somebody that's top secret in a briefcase, locked up, going into a skiff, reading the document, signing that you read it, and give it back. When Trump was trying to get Jared and Ivanka clearance, top security clearance, and the guy that was over it ended up quitting, you know he always put people in place that were acting. That's how he was able to save documents because you're not supposed to keep the stuff.
Okay, so here's another thing we have to look at. The AG, she just dropped, what, a $250 million lawsuit on the family. On the Trump family. Right, Janet?
That's a baseline.
It's going to end up being $750.
That's just the start. A 200-page document. 200 pages. And she got blow-by-blow detail of all their transactions, which is a good thing. You know, I just, like you said, I just can't understand how people believe somebody. You know, just like right now, Trump is playing the QAnon song everybody's holding the one finger up. You know, he's trying to get his little army together. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's trying to get that army together.
Mm. Fact that we have someone that is literally trying to destroy the very democracy. They're trying to destroy this country, and you play in the people because it's just like a cult. Okay, you put a guy who created conflict. That's all he's done. He's turned Washington and the people into a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. Along with Fox News, he creates conflict, and people are paid into it. Like you said, he got people going out there trying to do hit jobs on the FBI. Now you're talking about mm-hmm. defund the FBI? I thought the Republicans were the party of law and order.
Mm-hmm.
And you're diminishing that whole... And you're destroying that whole democracy, the whole ideal of democracy. You're destroying it within. And I'm sorry, Jenny.
And what does Mike? Let me ask you this, Mike. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What does make America great again? When was it great, and great for who?
Mm-hmm.
According to the way it is being said, it was great back in the 1950s and 40s and everything like that when it was
back in slavery era.
I'm not going to go all that way back that far, but let's go with the most recent time of the Jim Crow era. That's when it was great for individuals like himself because that's what he knows. That's what he understands.
But in my opinion, yeah. Okay, so if you look at the 50s, 60s, go up to the 70s, okay, and you look at, like you said, Jim Crow didn't end till 1964.
Mm-hmm.
The Voting Rights Act was not till 1965.
World War II ended
1945. No, I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. And when you look at what everybody had to go through, okay? But you're not talking about what white folks had to go through. By the time they amended the GI Bill in 1956, white people are ahead of black people 171,000 to 17,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And these were all, and mind you, even though they said that black people could get the GI Bill, they couldn't. And white folks had been signing covenants. They were signing covenants that prevented black people from moving in the suburbs. They could not buy homes in certain areas. Didn't matter how rich they were, any of that. Okay? So whoever, when they started doing this and playing this role, they're doing something that is definitely going to cause them, you know, it's just going to cause problems. It doesn't work.
I just want time to go ahead and wrap that up, and then you go ahead and chime in.
I was just going to say, Mike, that when you look at that, and then you look at that, as Janet was saying, 1876. That was 1877 was the end of Reconstruction, and that was when the North sold out black folks by by getting rid of the Union soldiers who were protecting them. And we had lawyers, we had doctors, we had people on the House of Representatives, black people. It showed that black people were thriving, and they destroyed it.
Okay.
And they also gave them reparations. They gave them reparations for the slaves that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
now,
they
Janet,
made out
about
like bandits, and then so, hey.
And then they end up, okay, you got a slave that's all of a sudden they're freed, but because they're standing around, they create chain gangs in prison. So you just went from one extreme to the other. You couldn't get free labor. So you decide to do it the opposite way. by enslaving them anyway, by them being in prison. And right now today, it's the same way. It's a double standard, no matter how you
okay,
look
so,
at it.
Right. Okay, so speaking of extremes, which I appreciate what you both share, for folks who didn't know that, some already knew, some I didn't know, but the thing is that when you talk about the former president, and even though it's comical in some way, it's still scary that people believe this bullshit, are still backing him. And then I'm going to get into the whole thing about Herschel Walker. Here is a black man, former football player, documentation of him. Somebody has some noise in the background. I'm hearing a beeping sound. If you can't put yourself on mute. Here's this former Georgia college football, NFL football star who is running for Senate against another black man. And he openly said that, yeah, he's going to embarrass me, you know. You've been dodging a debate for months, and now you come flat out and say he's going to embarrass you. But you know what? Scary thing. The race is still neck and neck. How do you explain that? His history, the advertisements that they're showing here in Georgia, I'm pretty sure you guys probably don't see it in California or other states, but you can look for it on social media. Of his former wife saying how he put a gun to her head and said he would blow her brains out. And other things that he's been accused of and found to be documented and found to be true. But people are still willing to vote for him for Senate.
Because Trump backed him.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that scary? And I wonder, has Trump been here to Georgia yet to support him? I don't think so. I don't think he's been to any of Herschel Walker's rallies.
Well, Mike, you know why he's not coming. You know why he won't go to Georgia, right? Mike?
Huh?
You know why he's not going to Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Yeah, I know.
You're waiting on it. The AG is waiting on him in Georgia. That sister's got a fat case against him.
That's
you don't
right.
want to go to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And
they
anytime you make
him in Georgia too.
Right, and anytime you get on stage and you tell everybody, anybody who pleads the fifth is guilty, but you turn around and plead 440 times. So Letitia James got all the times he pled. I plead the fifth. Yeah. And then you got other people like Barr saying, I don't know why he's going after the kids. The kids was right along with them making those deals. Those kids are grown up.
Yeah,
I watched
a program the other night where some of the things that the kids were involved in were some kind of thing for kids, and that they were you know, just literally throwing Letitia James under the bus, saying she doesn't realize how she's affecting this program and everything that we've been doing. Everything. Okay, I understand if you're doing good things, but hell, there's been a lot of gangsters who I mean, even in movies they show where Nino Brown gave away turkeys on Thanksgiving. He was still a drug dealer. Okay, it doesn't excuse the crime you committed. Or what alleged crime and an investigation. It doesn't stop that. And that's the thing that bothers me is where you look at, I mean, someone brought it to my attention. Look at individuals like, I hate to say his name, but, you know, that you look at R. Kelly, that dumbass did one of the most ridiculous things ever, child molestation. They put his ass in court, found him guilty. You know, he could have, for the first time, he got off. But then he's going to turn around and still do the same damn practice and wind up going to prison. And he's still going through the court system, right? But look at these individuals in politics, Donald Trump and a host of other cronies. This stuff is still going on and on and on and on. My whole thing is, can they really prosecute him in a criminal court, not a civil matter, but in criminal activity? Janet, you and I talked about that. A lot of this is civil, correct?
He's no longer president of the United States. He's a regular citizen like everybody else. And like Garland says, nobody is above the law.
Okay, but most of these things are civil. Am I right?
Well, he's got some criminal stuff going on, too.
No, I'm saying my point is, or my question is this. Most of these charges are civil. They're not criminal at this point. Okay. So here's the thing. He could lose a lot of damn money. And the main thing is I'm saying that many of the charges are, well, he's got so many of them, but I'm saying many of them are pretty much civil cases, right?
Which one are you talking about?
So,
not the ones at Mar-a-Lago.
I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah,
Mar-a-Lago.
He can get 20 years for that.
The ones at Mar-a-Lago,
okay.
If they get him for the espionage, that's 10 to 20.
Okay, that's criminal, not civil. But then all the other ones are pretty much civil. Most of the other ones are civil cases where he can lose a boatload of money, which we don't really know his total worth, okay, because he has a lot of borrowing power. And what is it, Deutsche Bank? He's got a lot of borrowing power.
No,
what I'm saying, Janet, to get to this point, I'll say, like you said, he had a lot of borrowing power. All right. So he can lose millions of dollars or whatever he may have, or he could be in serious debt if he is prosecuted and found guilty of any of the above and lose everything, even his children. If what Letitia James is putting together comes to be fact. Correct? The whole family could be destroyed.
Mike, it's fact. She wasted 3 years of her time getting all that evidence. And Cohen is the one that started the ball rolling because he knew he was his personal attorney and he was the fixer. So he knew all the ins and outs.
Jeff, do you have something to say on this one? I know you already spoke earlier, but do you really think that the Teflon Don is going to turn into a, well, not Teflon skillet, but a, what's the worst skillet, pop metal?
Actually, he's going down. And some families going with him, and some high politicians are going with him.
That's right.
So
the hearing that's getting ready to happen Wednesday, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is going to be testifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, I heard that.
Five to
and
one,
what,
she told
and,
Clarence
and,
under the bus.
You think she's going to throw her own husband under the bus?
Oh, hell yeah. 5-1, she's going to throw him under the bus.
Her own husband. Well, we're going to talk about relationships later on the show, but to save her ass, right? Okay. That will be interesting to see or hear.
Well, you got to remember, she was involved at a very young age with a cult, and that's the same mindset that Trump has. So the people around Trump, Clarence Thomas, McCarthy, they're all pawns in order to protect the supposed king. So she's going to throw her own husband under the bus, especially since he's the one who brought about the Roe ruling and made mention about other rulings that they need to look into, same-sex marriage, interracial marriage and relationships. She's looking at him like, well, hell, what color do you think I am? We're interracially married. You got to go now. You got to go, Mr. Thomas. I'm not even calling you Clarence no more.
Mr. Thomas, huh? I ain't going to call you Clarence no more. I like that. Wow. Well, again, like I said, later on, we're going to talk about relationships. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. So I'm just, like I said, I'm just still amazed at this race between Warnock and Walker, how close it is. I think when I last looked, I have to look again, Walker was ahead by a point or two. And the man has never debated Warnock. And I see all the advertisements. And again, for you folks who live in other regions of the country that's listening, you don't get the same advertisements, you know, that we get. You get what's going on in your local jurisdictions. And but you got to take a look at them. You can pull them up and see, you know, some of the comments and some of the things that are being said about each candidate. And you kind of figure it out. You kind of think
they're trying to, you know what though, Michael? They're trying to paint Warnock like he's some extreme liberal and vote for everything Biden is doing, you know. But they're not. Some of the stuff that they're saying is not true, because if you watch all the different news stations and you read a lot of the articles, you know what they're actually doing, you know. But you know that disinformation is what they're peddling.
Well, but Janet, but if you look at where they put in their advertisement that Warnock has voted 95% of the time in favor of Biden. That's what they put in their advertising. You know, and I see that.
Well,
now,
did you see when all the Republicans went lockstep and voted every single time for Donald Trump? Never passed anything while they were in office, and now they come up with some new commitment that is not is a bunch that's a joke. They wait till a month before the election to come up with some new commitment. They never had a commitment before, and they think people are going to actually vote to put the abortion in every state, let the states control it. No.
Okay, so speaking on that, go ahead.
You got to remember, Republicans, the majority of them pretty much vote early, to where the Democrats vote later. That's why Trump was leading in the polls in the beginning when he wanted to shut everything down. That's the same thing going on right now with Herschel Walker. And the only thing he's got going for him is Georgia, University of Georgia. And all of Athens pretty much are Republican because of that. With up there with Brian Kemp, he's from Athens. So they're all looking on that mindset. But, you know, they've all dug their own graves and their own holes. You know, with pitchfork shovels. They didn't even use real shovels. Pitchfork shovels. Because all their stories got holes in them all the way through.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I'm not always perfect. I try to be as correct as I can. For understanding that Herschel Walker lived in another state and came back to Georgia and then decided to run for Senate. Is he? I mean,
you know what gets me, Michael? What gets me is why people think because somebody's black, everybody's going to vote for him.
Well, can I finish what I was going to say? I mean, in my mind, I'm looking at it where they picked a person from way back from his football days, you know, to run against another black person. You got a sports star running against a minister. Now that's some of the craziest shit I ever heard. And they're both black, right? So when Oshkoff and Warnock won both seats, that really changed Georgia, because Georgia has always been a red state. But here you got two Democrats now, right? They don't have really anybody to go up against Oshkoff, but they figure, let's bring, which Janet, you were about to say, this former athlete, former Georgia football star, NFL star too, into the fray and try to take a seat back. But did they do their homework? Look at the allegations, which is documented, of what Herschel Walker's past was in his past marriage. Put a gun to your wife's head?
Well,
and then
you also
some of the things
that
he said, but here's another thing. When you look at the video where he says China's bad air has come over here to the – China's bad air has traveled across the globe to us, and now our good air has traveled over to them. What – oh, my God. What the hell is he talking about? Y'all seen the video, I hope. And if you haven't, just watch it. What the hell is he talking about? And is anybody paying attention how ridiculous this shit sounds? There's documentation of you assaulting your wife, threatening her life. There's documentation of you saying, what I just said he said, and you guys want to vote for him to be a senator? Come on, man. Had Barack Obama, Joe Biden, or any other president ever said any shit like that, they would not get my vote.
If he was convicted of those domestic violence charges, he's breaking the law every day. I don't know if he was convicted on them or if he, you know, even if he took a plea, he's pleading guilty to some degree. But in the state of Georgia, when it comes to domestic violence, you can't own a weapon. But he's on stage with a weapon on his hip, under his shirt, concealed.
Well,
and he admitted he put a gun to her head.
He admitted it in an interview. And here's another thing, though, Officer Crenshaw, and I'm glad that you're here because you know how state of Georgia law works. But here's another thing is that when he was asked about that, he dodged really talking about it. He started saying, well, you know, my ex-wife, I forgot her name. I'll bring it up. But we're like the best of friends now. So he tried to sugarcoat the whole thing and smooth over it. He didn't want to get into the detail of it, explain why he did it, what was going on. He was just saying, well, that was a while back. We're good friends now and everything and this and that and the other. So he didn't
deny.
And
that's possibly the case. But in the state of Georgia.
And they probably had an out-court settlement.
Right. In the state of Georgia, once the state picks up the charge, the victim can't drop the charge. So if she made statements, the state should have went on ahead and prosecuted him for domestic violence, which means he would not be able to carry a weapon at all.
I'm trying to see. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that he claimed that he did. He said that he was a special agent or he was a police officer or something. Just a bunch of stuff he claimed. And when they looked back and they even contacted, he said he worked with the Cobb County Police, which that's the county that I live in, and you too, Officer Crenshaw. Cobb County says we have no record of Herschel Walker ever participating in anything in law enforcement.
You can tell with us. You can tell people just about anything, but when you act in that capacity, that's when you're actually violating the law. You know, I can tell you that I'm a preacher, but then if I go into a church and try to impersonate a preacher, I'm in violation of the law.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good understanding. You can say anything pretty much and get away with it, but if you act on it, it could be, like you said, a violation of the law. You could tell somebody you're a police officer, but if you do anything dressed up as one and act in that way,
he said he was an FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
Not just police officer.
Okay, yeah, FBI. So, but even then, Officer Crenshaw, I mean, that being a false statement, that could even or possibly be something that they could charge a person for. I can't tell somebody or walk up to them and say, hey, I'm FBI, you know. Now, if I whip out a fake badge, that is actually doing something physical,
well,
right?
It works both ways. If you tell me you're FBI, nothing can happen to you. If you whip out a fake badge and say you're FBI and I go report it, and they come to investigate it and they find the badge to verify my statement, then you can be looked at or investigated for impersonation of FBI. But if you tell law enforcement, I'm a law enforcement officer. Now you've lied to a sworn officer of the court, which is impersonation.
Oh, okay. So if I lie to a citizen, that's one thing. But if I lie to an officer who is sworn as an officer that I'm one of them in law enforcement per se, right? Now
right.
I can really be in trouble because I'm actually claiming that I'm part of law enforcement to
correct.
A law enforcement officer. Okay.
Correct.
Mm. That's interesting. Hopefully you all hear that.
Well,
that's something that
everybody who refuses to accept that Donald Trump lost the election, you know, they need to also look at Donald Trump because he's still wearing his presidential pin and telling people he's still the president. He can tell them he's the president, but he's not allowed to wear that presidential pin anymore.
Hmm.
Well, the last pin he had on was a QAnon pin. Because he's gone full blown.
I didn't see that. Okay,
yeah,
I didn't see that. You said he had a QAnon pin on where?
He's got a QAnon pin, and he's been having rallies telling people about the storm is coming. And everybody's holding up a one finger saying they're all in one or whatever singing the song and everything.
Okay.
Because he know he don't have anything else to turn to. So he's doing little subtle threats saying, you know, just like Lindsey Graham, if they gets indicted, it's going to be a war. Well, let it be a war because we do not need to lose our democracy.
Well, Janet, let me ask
all
you
right,
this.
So I'm glad.
Would you
rather be
a loud storm that everybody hears you coming and everybody know you're coming, or would you rather be the quiet storm?
I would rather be the quiet storm, but he's loud. He's letting people know what he's going to do. That's about as bad as Putin saying he's going to do a nuclear weapons, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to get blown off the face of the earth. Let him keep it up.
But it's the quiet storm you got to worry about, the one
that's
that you
right.
don't see coming. And that's what's going
to
happen when they bring all that mess back. Walking tall.
Well, you know, as I said, you know, I've been asked about what we talk about here on the show and the topics and the political things. I look at it where, granted, this stuff is on the news every day, each day. Here, what we do, we try to dissect the things in between and question some of the things that maybe at least I think, that maybe the national news, they don't have time to sit there and say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, why was that comment made this time? Some do, you know, but I try to get with our crew and hear their points of view and yours also for you listening on this. As you well know, you're more than welcome to join the chat room. And if you don't want to be on the air live, you can always go to our chat room and just take a moment to sign up. And you could type in your question or comment. I'll read it on the air, which I always do. Or you can join us live here on the show at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861 every Saturday. It's interesting to hear people's point of view. Not everybody has a chance to share it, so we give you a platform to share your thoughts about it. And as I said, it's a situation that's happening where this has been going on for a while, and it is a threat to our democracy. It is crazy how we can be neighbors and wave at each other and say, good morning, neighbor, good morning. But the moment you talk politics and we're on different, you know, ends of the scale, there's animosity, there's hatred over politics, right? That happens a lot. But we all live here in this country together, and we got to make sure that our democracy stands firm. When I look at what, and in fact, I was accused of being a hater. Oh, you just hate Donald Trump. You just hate him. No, I used to like Donald Trump. They'll like the guy for certain things. You know what I liked? I liked his show, The Apprentice. I thought it was entertaining when it first came out. I used to watch it. Later on, it got kind of old for me, so I stopped really following. I don't hate anyone, but I can dislike their actions. There's a difference. There's a difference. Hating is a waste of energy, but you could dislike what a person does and not agree with it. And I disagree with what Donald Trump has done and anybody else, especially some of the ways that it's been flip-flopped and everything. And it's clear that this was not something that any other president in history has ever done. Many of the things that the former president is trying to convince and has convinced his followers is okay has never been done, and it's not right.
But does it surprise you?
It's not right. No, not now.
It shouldn't surprise you because he was doing the same thing before he became president. You know,
politicians pull out
dirty tricks when they're running against each other. So they say things to make the other one look bad. But knowing that you got someone who is from the United States and you're going to sit there and say they're not, show me your birth certificate, you're not from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even sure if Donald Trump is from the United States. His grandfather was banned from Germany, you know, running from the draft. How do we know Donald wasn't just a little bitty cat running with him?
I mean, that can be a conspiracy theory or that could be another story that could be thrown out there. I agree with you. But the things that what I'm saying, right, it's just sad that here's these allegations that he brought up, the whole thing with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, all these negatives and many others. And what really got me, well, when he attacked the NFL, by the way, you guys know football season has started. It is off to a great running start, college and pro. But he attacked the NFL. He attacked a football player who went in one knee. Then all of a sudden, a lot of athletes started using one knee. And the NFL's doing, well, think about it. He wanted to own an NFL team. And for you people who don't understand, NFL teams are privately owned. I think there's only one team out of the, 32? One team that is actually owned by the city, and that's Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers are owned by the city. You think about the money that the NFL owners make, television, advertisement, you know, apparel. The you know, when people get upset and be like, you know, these damn football players making millions and millions. Think of the billions these cats are making owning the team. It's privately owned. What you mad about? It's not on the stock market. I'm not trying to get away from what we're talking about, but, I mean, think about those things. Here, the former president wants you to hate the NFL. Wants you to hate, you know, because his ass couldn't buy a team. They wouldn't let him in the club is the bottom line. And the NFL is a club. Correct?
Right.
They didn't want him in the club. So that has to give you some kind of inkling of I mean, there should be an inkling or a little a thought in your mind of why not? Donald Trump, such a great investor, such a great businessman. Well, we all found out later on about his, seven different times that he filed bankruptcy and didn't pay folks. We found out about where they didn't want black people living in their housing, or their apartments and this and the other. We found that to be true. So what do you expect? What do you expect? This man, I mean, he's set in his ways. And let's go back to what Timon said earlier, and thanks to Timon for chiming in when he could. I wish he could jump back in, but I know he was at a birthday party. But the good old days is what Timon said, or what Donald Trump says, that we need to go back to the good old days. Yeah. That's what these people who support him want. You know what they want? They want the good old days. And unfortunately, there are signs of individuals who believe that the good old days are coming back. Remember the old term, the South will rise again? Well, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to raise the old South, the old good old days, through Donald Trump's leadership. And many other individuals who believe they can do this. Now, before we switch gears, because we're at the, almost the top of the hour, and I want to switch topics quickly. Janet, you mentioned Lindsey Graham. Does anybody have a guy friend named Lindsey? I don't. I've never met a guy named Lindsey. But anyway, that's a different story. Lindsey Graham wants the term limit to be, what is it, 15 weeks? Am I right?
He wants to send the abortion back to the state.
Right, okay. But didn't he say something about 15 weeks instead of 6? I forgot.
Right, he said 15 weeks federal. He wants it federal, national, 15 weeks with exceptions for rape and incest. So he's trying to act like he's compromising without compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had some friends of mine that I mean, they post on social media, and I respect their, you know, I respect their comments and everything. You know, they say it's murder and this and other, but I'm sorry. I can't make a decision for a woman. And I'm not going to try to, you know, imagine that. I get it where, you know, if you're having promiscuous sex and everything, you get pregnant, well, that's your fault. But in a rape or incest, I don't believe a woman should be forced. to give birth. That part I do not agree.
Not just giving birth. They want to take birth control away from women, not just the abortion thing. They're trying to go full force in making people have babies. But what people fail to realize, everybody's going to be having babies, not just the minority. It's going to be everybody.
And also something that someone brought to my attention. But also what was brought to my attention, someone said, now think about that rich individual or that individual well off. They can cross the border. Yeah, you know that one south of us. And could be pregnant. No one knows. And go down there and get an abortion. And no one knows, right? Because they can afford it. Do you think that that might be a issue, or that could possibly be something that they're overlooking, that people will cross the border from, you know, the United States into Mexico, whatever, to get an abortion and come back, regardless?
Mike, that's why they made the law. They're passing the law saying that if anybody see, like, an Uber driver taking a person to a clinic, you can sue the Uber driver. They're trying to make it difficult.
That part.
They're
yeah,
trying
heard,
to charge doctors
I heard
a whole lot of money for getting abortions.
Janet, I understand that, but I heard that. But what I'm saying is this, okay, even if they do the lockdown, whatever you want to call it, here in the United States, what about the individuals who can afford to cross the border and still have the process done? What can you do about that? What can you say about that? Officer Crenshaw, you understand my point?
Yeah, but you're getting ready to have a
whole
bunch of...
Cross the border, you can still get in trouble. They're trying to pass all these laws to make it hard for even going to another state.
What he's saying,
hold on a minute,
is if you're rich,
I know,
you
can
fly
to England somewhere and get an abortion.
Janet, hold on a minute, Janet. Just let Crenshaw finish, please.
Yeah. I'm not
what
saying nothing
saying?
Else. I'm through.
Okay, I just want to hear what his response is to what I was asking.
I'm through.
No,
okay,
it's just,
what were you saying?
You're getting ready to have a whole bunch of snitches, because if you think people were watching people before and video recording, that's getting ready to happen now, all up through Hollywood and everywhere. Because you start taking the small things away from the people who don't have access, they're going to start watching the people who do. And more
right.
of it's going to come out and be known.
Exactly. So, I mean, let's just look at it in this way. If, and I'm saying if, hypothetically, if these so-called, you know, laws pass and go through the states, whether it's Lindsey Graham's idea or whoever else, if a person wants to have an abortion, they're going to try to find a way, right, through the back alleys or this and the other. But then, as I was saying about, let's say your celebrities or your not necessarily just celebrities. I'm not trying to pinpoint any type of people, but the people with money that can say, you know what, let's just go over to Mexico. A friend of mine knows a person who could take care of this problem. The woman's not even showing, but she knows she's pregnant. She wants to get an abortion. They go over there like they're just going on vacation, do what they want to do. It's illegal here in the United States, but they went across the border to get it done. Now, no one knows about it. But let's say it was done and then the information comes out that, hey, they did this. Are they going to investigate that person and find out, hey, look, we have reason to believe that you aborted a child over state line? Do they have the right, and are they within their jurisdiction to do so, to investigate them and bring charges against them, even
if
though
they
it was
passed
a
law?
In Texas, they got
they
it
would,
already
it
would, on the book. That if you
I'm
know
okay,
somebody,
so if you cross the border, I'm not saying going to another state. I'm saying if you cross the border and have an abortion,
period. If
that
you do anything, period, and they know about it, somebody can individually sue that person.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to
do.
That's
all I was asking.
No matter where you go.
That's all I was asking. Mm-hmm.
And it gets found out, there you can be prosecuted. And the people who help you go there, whether they knew that's what you were
can
doing
be
or not, can be prosecuted.
They can,
right.
they can
you're
be
accessor-
prosecuted.
Yeah,
right.
you're an accessory to the same crime. Correct.
Right.
That's all I was trying to say.
No, I understand, Janet. I understand you were bringing up the Texas thing because Texas really was – well, Texas really was the leader of this whole thing. And all these white men made this decision for women's choice, right?
Just say it. Say it like it is, Mike. Old white men made that decision.
Correct.
It wasn't a bunch of young ones that can still, you know, go 20 minutes. You know, it was a bunch of old white men like us, you know, that could go 5 minutes. You know, but if you take their Viagra away from them, how are they going to feel?
Well, look. I'm not gonna put my timing down. But I'm old and I ain't white. But anyway,
we all white. We all black.
I can do more than 5 minutes, man. Come on, man. I can do more than 5 minutes. I'm old, but I ain't white, and I can do more than 5 minutes. Come on. I can do at least a good 15, 20. You know. Yeah.
Well, see, that's foreplay.
I do a lot of walking, so I keep exercising. Okay, before we get into a rated X part of the show, let me go ahead and give ourselves a little music break, and then we're going to come back. And I have a question about relationships. I think this is an interesting topic. I've shared it with folks. And the question is, can you still be friends with your ex while you're in a relationship with your present mate? Is it okay for you all to talk to each other on the phone? Is it okay to, you know, communicate? And whether it's male or female, okay, it doesn't matter. Let's say, for instance, your ex-girlfriend or ex-wife. Are there kids involved? There's a lot of things involved into this conversation. Some people say, no, you shouldn't be. Some people say, it depends. I just want to hear you guys' point of view, not just my co-host. I want you people who are listening to the show right now to call in or either hit the number one so that I can open up your mic so you can join the conversation, share your opinion. Or if you're listening online, make sure that you go ahead and join the chat room if you're kind of nervous about talking on the show. Join the chat room and you can type in your question or comment and I'll read it on the air and let's get the conversation started, okay? And I'm just really curious about this because, like I said, I've talked to a lot of folks about it and I've had a lot of different reactions to this question. We're going to take a quick music break and just give me a moment here. I'm trying to find something. I should have had it set up. Okay. Hey, look, I'm going to play some new music from a guy that you guys heard before. He did some songs for Tupac. Remember I Ain't Mad At You, Officer Crenshaw? Mad At You. You remember that? In Players Ball? Danny Boy, okay, is back. He has some new music. And I'm going to go ahead and play it for y'all. I want to see what your response is to it. And we'll be right back. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back. Here's Danny Boy.
Get you a rose, get
your favorite day. You know it's gonna be all good. Oh yeah, babe. And if you don't mind, baby, I wanna make you smile all night, babe, while we listen to this song that I made for you. And this song is for dancing. This song is for singing. This song is for making. Making good love to you. And this song is for moving. And you know it's meant for grooving, girl. This song is for making some real good love to you. Love to you. Love to you. Go kick it in the park, romancing in the dark. Let the stars be our light. Oh yeah, baby. Then I'ma tell you everything I know your body wanna hear. So baby, listen closely to me. It's all good. Oh yeah, baby. And if you don't mind, baby, I wanna make you smile. Making good love to you. This song is for moving. This song is for grooving. This song is for making some real good love to you. Love to you. Love to you.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuned in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of The Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.
All right, you guys. Thank you, St. James. Hey, you guys. I have something I want to welcome back to the show, and I have a topic I want you guys to think about it a little bit, and let's talk about it. So it crossed my mind about relationships. You know, we've all been through them over our lives and everything. And I was wondering, is it okay to still have a friendship with your ex? Now, let me explain myself first. There's some ex relationships I've been in, many ladies over my years, okay? And fortunately, I'm still friends with many of them. Friends. There's nothing else going on. We're just friends, you know? And some people have those friendships, and then their mate might be like, are you still talking to her? You still talking to her? And vice versa. Where a guy will say, oh, are you still in contact with him? What the hell did, you know? But is it okay that even though you guys didn't go further, let's say the relationship went, south, and y'all just didn't really talk to each other anymore and decided to separate, but decided to stay friends, still contact each other, say, hey, how you doing? Still helpful with maybe that person you trusted that knew more about, something that you don't know. Or, you know, he knew something about fixing stuff, and you call him up and say, hey, look, Jeff, my sink is messing up. Can you tell me what I might be able to do? is there something wrong with being friends with your ex? And that's the topic we want to get to. I want to go ahead and open up this microphone here, 346, and I do believe that is Cotton Campbell. Hello, Cotton K.C. Campbell.
Hola, hola, hola.
What's up? Oh, no, no, no. Don't say Cotton. Hold on.
Huh?
Is that Cotton?
Yeah, that's me.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, it's
me. I was about to say, wait a minute. I know my eyes are getting bad, but I knew I can read numbers right. But hello, 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 and welcome to the show. All right,
hey,
so you
everybody.
Heard me introduce the Hey, you heard me introduce the topic. I wanna go ahead and get everybody's first thought about the topic and then your point of view and then share, if you want to, your experiences. The lady of the house, I wanna put the ball in her court first.
No.
Janet?
She, no.
She said no. All right, I'm going to put the ball in Officer Crenshaw's court first. Officer Crenshaw, do you think that's wrong or you think that it should be okay? And why?
Well, it depends on the reasons why you split up with that person, because the past is the past. If you split up with them on good terms and you know your limits and they know their limits and they're not only willing to be friends with you at that point, but friends with your spouse, your new husband or wife, friend or boyfriend, and talk about the exact same subjects, I don't see why not. As long as you know your limitations, they can't call you crying on your shoulder at 12:30 in the morning and you jump up and run to the phone.
Right.
You got to know your limitations as well, just like they have to know theirs.
Right. Point of respect. Right.
So to be friends, to a degree, yes, but to a bigger degree, no.
What's the bigger degree that you see?
Somebody's going to always say, why are you always talking to them? Am I not supposed to be your friend?
Mm-hmm.
You married to me. I'm your friend. You can talk to me. Why are you always talking to them?
Now, let me ask you this now, okay, to switch gears, which I want everybody to give their point of view on this topic. But what if there's children involved? Let's say you guys have kids, and in most cases, I'm just speculating that where, well, you know, we got to be able to communicate due to the kids, you know, school starting, they're going to need this and that and the other. We are both responsible, right, for our kids. So what if there's kids involved? What do you
then
look at as far as the limitation of communication?
You need to be cordial and respectful of not towards each other, but of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That way the child isn't hearing negative on either side, and you remain cordial.
Correct.
For the child's benefit. You know, but as far as you still going over and working on their car and, you know, they're picking up your clothes from the laundromat, no.
Oh, right. Those type of things, right. No. I agree with you on that. Cotton Campbell, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining. And by the way, you guys, make sure you tune in to Cotton's show every third Thursday of the month, which is Let's Talk About It with her crew, the ladies of TMGN. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I will say this. I'm probably friends with 95% of my exes.
Wow.
No. So my thing is the boundaries have to be there. Like, you have to know that you cannot
be set.
Cross a boundary. There cannot be a disrespect. Like, if me as the person who is in the relationship, if I feel like the other person is crossing the line of disrespecting my relationship, my current relationship, then he got to go. It don't matter how long we've known each other. It don't matter none of that. You can't be my friend because in your mind, you're still hoping something's going to happen, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a line of respecting the relationship. And if a person doesn't respect the relationship, then you, as the person being in that relationship, need to be rid of that friend.
Interesting perspective. I want to ask you something else. Okay, so because, as I said, I knew this was going to be an interesting topic, and I like hearing different responses. I see folks that are popping up on the board listening. If you want to chime in, like I said, hit the number one. I'll open up your mic, or you can go to the Blog Talk and go to the chat room and post your question or comment. The thing is, what I'm looking at, what you just said, when your ex or one of your exes, because all of us have dated more than once a different individual, I would think so, right? And, you know,
yeah.
From back from high school all the way up to our adulthood, all right? And I ain't talking about just present day. I'm just talking about just in general. We've all dated someone, had a great time, blah, 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 and you parted ways for one reason or another. Back in school, probably because you all moved away from the neighborhood and had no choice, but you dated someone and as B.B. King said, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. You know, something like that happened, right? So the thrill is gone. So you move on. But there were certain things that you all had in common. You enjoyed talking about, you enjoyed, you know, discussing. So is it wrong to still have a friendship after the quote-unquote relationship, meaning the intimacy has ended between you two? You both on agreement on that. We will not be intimate anymore, but we can still talk, still be friends. I was dating a young lady that had a friend of hers. She didn't date him, but they were friends, had known each other almost all their lives. And I remember we were living together and everything, and this cat would call like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, who the fuck is this? Excuse me for cussing. But you know, I had to get him on the phone and say, hey, look, I don't mind you all being. I said, but there's a time you can call. And he was very apologetic there. You know what, I'm sorry. He said, I know that, you know, because her and I had just really recently got, you know, together. And he was just so used to calling her, you know, on the regular at any time at night. Well, you can't do that shit anymore, bro. I'm here. Call her in the day. So I
why
just want to get everybody's
point
of view.
Why did you have to do that, Mike?
That's a good question. And the things that I can't think back to the discussion that I had with her about that. And I told her after that point, I said, no, he can't call here at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And it stopped. But see, that's the thing, that in some situations, some folks are so used to it, they don't think about the effect it might have on their partner. Some people don't think. They're so used to it, they think this shouldn't be a problem. Maybe that was the case, which in that way, I guess it was. But it stopped. I had never seen the guy. Finally, I met him. And, you know, he was welcome to come over and, you know, we had barbecue and everything. He didn't stay all night. I didn't let them stay alone, you know, with each other, you know, and everything, because I was still kind of, you know, questionable about it. But come to find out, he was cool. They just friends. That's it. He would call her to cry on her shoulder. Believe it or not, there's a lot of men who call women to cry on their shoulder. I knew there was another woman I used to date. Janet, you know the one I used to date. She had a friend, his name was Denver. He would call up, you know, and not that late, but he would call late. and everything. He used to get mad because there was times she wouldn't call him back and everything. And I think something what she told me, he said, well, I can tell you in a relationship because you don't call me and this and the other. She's like, I'm busy doing a lot of stuff and everything. And I have to talk to him. Dude, hold up. That's your friend, but this is my woman. You have to respect that. If the shoe was on the other foot, you'd probably be dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with. So let me go ahead and open up this microphone, 323-763. I don't recognize this number. I want to open up their mic. And it's Pinwheeling, and you're on the air. Welcome to TMGN. What's your name? Where are you calling from? I think you're calling from California. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, my name's Joe. I saw your show. So I saw in the description page you talk about current events, political affairs, and relationships, which are kind of similar yet dissimilar. So I thought I'd drop in and find out what you guys are talking about, see if it's interesting.
Okay. So you heard the topic that we're talking about. We already went through the political part and the current affairs, what we're talking about.
No, I just heard about your, the relationships. I heard about what what happened to you. So I think it's a good question from the hostess that the girl should have handled it. But if the first time, if that guy had called at 1 o'clock in the morning and it was the first time, that wasn't your woman's fault because she doesn't know that the guy's going to call that night or that morning.
Correct. You're right.
But if it's like the second or third time, she should have said to him, I have a boyfriend now, and he doesn't mind, I don't think, for you to call, but you know, you can't call after 10 p.m. So,
yeah, because we both have jobs and got to go to work in the morning, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. You say your name is what, Joe?
Yeah. So when he apologized and didn't give you any static, you know, he knew that he was in the wrong. Oh, not in the wrong, but he knew that he had done something which he can't continue to do anymore. So, you know, I don't think that was a problem.
Okay. Well, so you chimed in just recently, by the way, for you guys that are on the board. Joe just called in, and he heard just that last bit of it. But I'm looking at all the different situations as far as I mentioned, let's say if you are a husband and wife and you have children, you know, should there be any animosity or jealousy of the communication between the two parents? And it's not where some folks look at it where, you know, the guy still communicating with the girl. Sometimes the girl is still communicating with her ex-old man and the guy she's in a relationship with now is upset and doesn't agree with it. Janet, do you want to chime in on your point of view of it yet, or you want me to move on?
Well, a lot of times I feel that, you know, even though sometimes someone might say that they have moved on, they have an underlying ulterior motive where they're in the back of their head, they're hoping that one day they might be able to get back in with that person.
That's
and
true.
I feel like if you're in a new relationship and you moved on, you need to move on. When there's children involved, I actually believe it should only be about the kids and nothing else. You shouldn't let an ex get involved. And me, if I'm in a relationship and somebody called me, I would let them know, don't call here anymore. I'm in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's, for me, it's disrespectful. I would have handled it. I wouldn't have had to let my man talk to the person. I would have talked to that person.
Well, I had to talk to them. Let me go to Cotton. Cotton, what's your thoughts about that? Let's look at it in the sense of, as I said, if there's children involved, you have a child by that individual. And I want you to give me, you know, both sides. Let's say, for instance, you have a child, and here's your ex. You have a new relationship, right? And, you know, your ex, old man, you know, he calls you, you know, asks you a question about this and the other. It's not like he's trying to get back with you. He might want to get your opinion about something. You know, women sometimes will call their ex for their opinion or their advice on something at the house that they live in or or their car, or, you know, nothing as far as just chit-chatting, right? What's your thoughts about when it's children involved? You know, is that a problem to communicate? Should it be? And should the new person in the relationship be upset because you two are discussing things, you know, a lot?
There still has to be, I mean, I could tell y'all some stories. There still has to be some boundaries. So I will give you an example. I had that situation. And so my ex called and said, I'm coming into town. Of course, he wanted to see his daughter, but he said, my hotel room's not going to be available, because he was bringing his significant other. I can't remember if Lisa was his wife at the time. And he needed a place to lay his head. So I opened the door for him to stay at our place, him and her, until their room was ready. He spent time with his daughter. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. My now ex-husband did not like it as much, but he was still accommodating because there was no beef between him and the ex. So there has to be that, and I've had to sit down with some of my best friends' wives and him just to explain to them that I'm just a friend. I'm not. There's nothing going on between me and that person. There has to be an adult type of communication or adult conversation that has to happen between the parties involved. If you're an adult, if you're grown up and you understand there's nothing going on between the parties involved, whether they're ex or not, and I don't want to hear, you know, I hear people say all the time, they're an ex for a reason, but they were also a person that you were in love with for a reason. So why do I have to hate you because we're no longer together?
But suppose that person is giving your person that you're with sort of like some kind of acting like you got something going on. Would you continue still being friends with that person? Because, sometimes people,
Because you don't want to make your person feel uncomfortable, but that's, So one of my best friends, I've been friends with him since I was 13, but his wife was uncomfortable with our relationship because she never met me. And so we sat down as a unit, and now when I go to town to visit, we all hang out. She comes, we all have dinner together, we laugh, we kiki, and then we keep it moving. She understands there's nothing going on between me and him, even though he wasn't my boyfriend, he's still one of my best friends. So we went to prom together and things like that. But you have to have that grown-up conversation. When you don't have it and you start doing sneaky things like, and making people making the person uncomfortable in a relationship, now we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so let me go ahead and Joe, I see Joe is still here. Joe, I want to come back to you in a minute, and thank you for joining us. I appreciate you looking us up, and I want to see if you have anything to add.
Sure, I'd like to be a part of this. When you're finished, I'd like to be a part of this discussion.
Okay, so let me go to Officer Crenshaw. Jeff, what's your thoughts about?
Well, I agree with Cotton as far as the communication and the respect. You have to communicate, but it's kind of tricky because even though you're in a relationship, you're married and your ex is married and you're dealing with the kids, you know, it still should be a whole lot of communication there. Me personally, if I had to call my ex for something, I would ask to speak to her husband first. To let him know why I'm calling.
Thank you.
I wouldn't call at midnight, you know, unless it was an emergency. But I would speak to him first to let him know why I was calling so that there's no issue between them two. And I would also make sure that my wife was somewhere listening so she wouldn't think that it was something else going on. I would keep it completely open with everybody.
Absolutely.
And you being a former officer in one of the biggest cities in the United States, one of the fastest growing, always been growing. You've seen a lot of domestic violence situations. How many times have you seen, well, I'm not going to say how many times, but when it comes to misunderstanding and what we're talking about, girlfriend, boyfriend, communications, everything, you've seen a lot of that happen, right, where violence would happen because of communication between the ex and the present, right? Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, 80% of the calls that we went on involving domestic violence was basically both sides wanted to be heard but couldn't hear each other for the yelling and the screaming.
Right.
So me being the type of officer that I was, I would get there and I would listen to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I would listen to them, I would observe first who was the loudest. And the loudest one was the one that I would talk to after I would talk to the quiet one. And then I would try to do something to
hold tight for a minute. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you for a moment. Somebody, you got some noise in the background. Please mute your mic until you're called upon, please, for the quality of the show. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yeah,
so you would
listen
to the loudest. You would talk to the loudest one first, right, and then the quietest one.
No, I would talk. I would talk to the quietest one first because the loudest one is the one that's being heard, and the other one that wants to be heard, that's quiet, you know, is the one that you really have to worry about in a domestic situation because they feel like they're being treated unfairly. So I would talk to that one first. Then talk to the loud one. Once I got both sides of it and I saw that if it wasn't too extreme, I would joke around and try to get them to laugh and do things to try to get them to communicate with each other without screaming and yelling at each other. And then I would take their sides of the story and break it down piece by piece to the other one and explain to them this is all they're asking. This is why they did that. You know, and try to get them to understand without having to lock somebody up or without having to make somebody leave their house, you know, try to get them to sit down and take a moment just to listen to each other. The biggest problem with domestic violence is you get a man or a woman that shuts down and won't say a word, and that enrages some people. They follow them through the house, picking up stuff, throwing
right.
stuff. And that creates more of a problem. So you have to let them know, look, I know you don't want to argue, you don't want to hear it, but sit there and listen and then make a comment or two. You've already made your mind up, but just so it doesn't get to the point where somebody has to go to jail, pacify that person that's yelling and screaming. Tell them, say, okay, I understand, even if you really don't. Just tell them that so they know that you heard some of the words coming out of their mouth.
Right. Very good point, man. And, you know, you spent 20 years on the force, retired, and, you know, you've seen this. You know, you've actually witnessed this and dealt with this on a regular basis. So I commend you and I appreciate you, you know, being one of my co-hosts and sharing, you know, just the reality situations like that. But the question is still the same. The topic is still the same. And I just want to get everybody's opinion. Some of you have already shared your experiences of being in a relationship and having still a friendship with your ex. Granted, in some situations or some relationships, it's not a good idea. Right, depending on their ulterior motives, which was mentioned, that sometimes a person might think, well, maybe we can get back together type thing, right? That's true. I think Janet had said that. And, yeah, there are some who feel that way. But it goes back to what Cotton said. You have to lay the boundaries of what our friendship will be after the breakup. If you want to be my friend, we'll be friends. But there's no coming back to the relationship we had in the beginning. See, for me, as I said, there's many, I'm not going to say many, but a good amount of women I've been in relationships with, and we're still friends. We don't hate each other. We didn't break up of, you know, hating each other, disrespecting each other. We broke up for different reasons. We broke up because it's like, hey, you know what? Something about we're not communicating the way we used to. Something ain't right here. And instead of us continuing to argue and everything, let's just part ways and not get to the point we don't want to talk to each other and not communicate. Sometimes it happens that way. And some, we're better friends than we were as lovers.
And vice versa.
Now, granted, and vice versa, exactly. Joe, you still here. Thank you again for chiming in. Do you have something you want to share with us or your thoughts on this topic? I see Joe's still on the board, but he hasn't responded. Okay.
Well, Michael, I am going to found the Michael Gray Network tips and different things.
Can you hear me?
Oh, that's Joe.
Yeah, that's Joe. Yeah, we can hear you, Joe.
Okay. Well, if I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody, I'm going to make it a primary concern of mine to trust her. Now, she's going
Correct.
To be foxy. She's going to be sexy. And I am, and she's going to be still attractive to whoever her exes are. And it's up to her to maintain the boundaries and maintain the relationship. It's not up to them. I don't know them. Those are her exes.
Correct.
And I wouldn't care if they made a move on her, only to a certain degree, because it's up to her to say no. All she has to do is say no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's going to be a problem. I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to blame her. Simple as that. Because I don't even
okay.
know them. Now, if it was a friend of mine,
now, let me flip the
and he
but
was...
Let me flip the... No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and finish because I want to flip the script, but go ahead.
Okay. And if they were friends of mine, well, you know, there's an unwritten law amongst guys and girls. You know, friends don't date exes. You know, not at least
right.
a couple of years have gone by. But,
that's
you know, point. If she's already got exes, and even if she has a kid by her ex, then I expect the communication to be there. I want the father to have a good relationship with his daughter or his son. And, again, it's up
right.
to her to maintain the status of the relationship. It's not up to them. They can try all they want. But if I'm in a relationship with you, you better be trustworthy, because if I see that you're
mm-hmm.
flirting or that you're kind of acquiescing to the old temptations, when you come
mm-hmm.
home, you can look to the left and you can look to the right, because that's where your luggage is, because there's no tolerance of that.
But, Joe, I have to ask you this, though. Okay, you said it in the perspective of her. What about in the perspective of you? Let's say your ex is wanting to keep in touch with you and trying to communicate with you. Would you still have those same, I guess, priorities or thought process?
Yeah, especially if we had children, yeah. And if my wife,
right.
let's say,
well,
or my new girl says...
If you had children or not, and your ex-girlfriend was dependent on your knowledge of certain things and your experience of things, and she felt like, hey, I need to call Joe because I know Joe knows this shit, right?
Yeah,
and
if I'm on good terms with her,
mm-hmm.
if I'm on good terms with her, then my new girlfriend has to realize that. Now, if she has spider senses and she feels like she's trying to get back with me, then she better trust me to say no. because I'm the one who's responsible for maintaining the relationship, not my ex. My ex can try all she wants. I have to say no. But if my new girlfriend is getting getting her her hair on her, on the back of her neck stood up because, oh, Jesus, is your ex calling you again? I'm going to say, yeah, and because we have something to talk about. Well, I don't really like her calling here. I'll say, well, honey, I can kind of understand that, but she and I are on good terms. We are not going to get back together. She needs my help, or she needs to talk, and we broke up in a very friendly, amicable way. Well, I still don't like her calling here. Then I had to say to her, oh, you better get used to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a different perspective. Jill, I notice I hear a little bit of an accent. I may be wrong, but you didn't share. Where are you calling from, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Montana.
Montana. I'm hearing an accent. Do you all hear an accent? All my co-hosts and listeners. You guys? Okay. All right. But you're not from Montana, are you?
I am. Montana is my state.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I love your response, and it's something that you know, I guess you'll see that all of our shows are archived and it's always available for broadcast on Spotify, iHeart, and the host of different social media pages. Thank you, Joe, and hopefully that you will continue to join us. So let me see. Did I get everybody involved? Make sure. Officer Crenshaw, you already responded. Cotton, you did. Janet called, dropped. She should be calling back. I see a 205-478 number here on the board, and they haven't waved their hand. If you want to join the conversation live with us, you're more than welcome. Hit the number one on your phone, and you can join us. I see in the chat room. Panky, is that Panky, P-I-A-N-K-I, has joined the conversation, and they're looking back. I'm not going to say it's a she or he, or a she or he, but I see that they're listening. If you want to type in your question or comment, you can do so right now, and I'll read it on the air. All right, so I think that everybody had a great response to the question. It depends on the situation. But I think that, and then you have to look at the fact that where, which Cotton said, got to be ground rules in order to be friends after, you know, the relationship is over with. You could be friends, in my opinion. You could be friends. You shouldn't hate your ex. Shouldn't have a reason to.
Yeah.
And you should be able to continue, because you have no idea. I mean, like I said, there's an ex of mine, a few exes that call me and ask me my opinion of stuff. I even call them for their assistance on even this show. Some of them help out in the background, whether you guys know it or not, on this show. They do research. They do a lot of things. So I really appreciate you guys chiming in on that topic. And I think that all of us kind of understand that there's nothing wrong with being friends. Wouldn't you agree, Officer Crenshaw?
I agree. But you got to remember, you can't control someone else's mental emotions. Even though they can trust you, if they're going through something in a period of their life to where they feel like maybe they should be doing more, then the insecurities, I don't want to use insecurity, just the fears might kick in to where they feel threatened, whether it's male or female, you know. So we also, not just communication, but you have to be aware of the other person's emotions as well pertaining to the
right
situation. You know, now
right.
Joe was straightforward. Well, get used to it because they're going to continue to call. And that's fine. You know, as long as I've been with my wife, if I said that, I honestly don't know what would happen to me. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
My wife, Mike. You know, I don't know what. Would
yeah,
to me.
I know your wife. You couldn't say that. Joe has
right.
dropped. So hopefully Joe would join us. He just happened to come across us, and I appreciate him chiming
yeah.
in with that. But hopefully Joe will come back. But right, you couldn't make those certain comments. It depends on who you're talking to, right? And you know that person, and you know what their
right.
response might be.
Right. Now, I love the answers that Cotton gave earlier and Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the theme song by Curtis Blow belonged to them. If I rule the world, because that's where we're going. Women is going to rule the world because they have the answers. They know how to articulate it and put it out there to where it sounds like it's already written down.
Mhm.
So,
well, also,
I mean,
you know, the thing is,
not remember. Y'all paid attention to, and I love the Smiths. So you know, I'm a Smith fan person. Period. So how Jada and Will's first wife, and they all kind of sat down and became a blend of were their friends. Before she even put that out there, I had to deal with a situation like that where I had to sit down with the ex, even though they didn't have any kids together. I still had that moment where let me sit down with the ex because he's still making it appear as though there's something going on between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to her directly. And she said, no, there's nothing going on. I said, but he's doing these little things like hiding your phone number. He's doing this and he's doing that. So it was on him. And in that moment, that's when I realized that I can never be mad at the other person for what my person is doing in this situation because you're making it look like it's something that it's not. And then her and I became the best of friends and were friends for 20 plus years. And they didn't have any kids together. So again, it's all about the conversation. If you can sit down and get out of the anger state and not be mad at the, you know, if you can't have, and he and I are now really good friends. We're better. I didn't like him for the first 10 years, but he's been my best friend for like the last 20 years, and he has a relationship. He's in his relationship, and her and I get along just fine. So you got to start putting that information or that aura, that karma, or whatever you want to call it, out there so that it can come back a different way. Because who wants to be sitting around mad at the world about or mad at an ex about something that transpired 15, 20 years ago? I don't want to run across somebody in the store and be like, you can't even say hi to them because you still mad that they cheated on you 20 years ago. It's like, hey, how you doing? How's the kids? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. How's the new life? That's good.
that's a good point. I quickly want to make a quick announcement here. I just quickly want to just make this quick drop. You guys don't mind. Give me just a second. Because we got to pay the bills here, but it's not really paying the bills, but it's a good shout out. Here we go.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl Cooley. All right, appreciate that. Okay, go ahead, Officer Crenshaw.
No, I could be the way that Cotton was describing, but I know my wife couldn't be that way. So 20 years later, you know, she'd still be trying to think of a way to run me over.
Okay. Oh, no, we don't want that to happen. Hey, I see Gwen. I see you on the board. You need to wave your hand. I want you to chime in on this conversation. I know that you're listening. and I'm pretty sure you have an opinion or a comment on it that's rolling around in your head, and you can definitely hit the number one. Yeah, I see you, okay? I'm just shouting out to a person live, and she knows it. I'm going to mess with her. But please chime in, and you've heard what we've been talking about. You know that it's an interesting topic, and so share with us if you have a comment, all right, or a question for any of us. Let me look for something else here I want us to kind of discuss, and I can't find it. Damn it, I had it here. But thank you guys so much. We're almost at the top of the hour, at the 8 o'clock hour, and, you know, sometimes when we have a lot to talk about, I will go overtime, but it seems like we're not going to do much of overtime. But I want to just open up the board and let each and every one of you share what you – I thought I heard someone say something. But I want each and every one of you to share what you would like to talk about here on the TMGS. I already talked to Cotton Campbell, already expressed to her that I think that pretty soon, in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have a full party get-together. When I say that, I mean the TMGS crew and the Let's Talk About It, the ladies of TMGN. We're all going to have a show together, Cotton's co-host and all the co-hosts here. We're going to schedule where we're all together, come up with some great topics that we can share with our listeners, and just have a lot of fun and have some trivia stuff. I really want to see what people know about in music, movies, this thing. It was just some fun, all right? I hope that you guys are down with that. Cotton, what do you think? Would that be fun?
Oh, that'd be great. You know, I'm looking forward to that. I've been looking forward to that for a while, so I can't wait till we start actually planning it.
Okay. Well, we're going to plan it where all of us get together. One thing I love about this platform is that here's individuals that live in various parts of this country, and many of us have never met each other personally, many of us. But it's like mm-hmm. we know each other, and it's like we live next door. We come together on Saturdays, every third Thursday of the month. We just have the person I called out, basically I did, they're at work, they're just listening, so they can't really talk. Well, thank you, Gwen, for listening. But, yeah, I think that it would be fantastic for us all to get together, and we're going to schedule, you know, a date and a time and some great topics, and also just have a lot of fun because it's just so fantastic that we all can communicate with each other the way that we do through this platform. So I'm just so thankful. Janet, you have anything you want to add?
Yes. On the Michael Gay Network, I'm going to post tips and things that you can do when you're in a relationship and, you know, and you have an ex. So anybody who wants to look at the site right after the show, I'll be posting it so you can read the article about all the tips and everything you need to know about being in a relationship, and it will give you some good advice.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You all check it out. Okay. And that should be very interesting. Before we leave, I want to do a few things. What I want to do is that I want to say thanks to many of the individuals that have shared drops for the show, like, of course, St. James, and everything. In fact, here's another one from St. James real quick.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
There you go, you know. So I'm thankful for those drops. A few more that are coming up. A few more guests are coming our way. We've been just kind of like trying to regroup on a lot of different things that, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of hard work. Janet does a great job doing the research on a lot of topics, more so political, but a lot of topics that we talk about here on the show. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate it. Time and Ship normally is with us in the first hour. You know, Timon is a comedian, an actor, an author. He, you know, we're just so thankful. And like you said, you know, today he was at a birthday party and walked away from it and got in the car to come on and talk with us live in the first hour. So I'm so appreciative of all of you. Cotton Campbell joining the TMGN. She could have started her own thing and started her own show. Let's Talk About It with her hosts, which are now known as the ladies of TMGN. I'm just so thankful, but we have to and we will continue to build and be strong and do what we do. So, and Officer Crenshaw, thank you so much for being a co-host here when available. I know you have a lot of stuff going on. So I'm just sharing my appreciation to each and every one of you for all these Saturdays we've spent together, so many of them. So thank you
Mike,
so much.
Mike,
go
I
ahead,
got
sir.
One question for
sure.
Cotton and Janet and any other lady that's listening. Do women really have supernatural powers? That's not a joke. I mean, to where, like, intuition and all of that stuff, you know, they have dreams, you know, visions,
yep.
All of that. Do they really have
yes.
that?
Yes.
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 We do. Yes. Yes, we do.
And
well,
they, can tell,
intuition.
They can tell. I know
intuition.
I can tell when somebody's doing something that they have no business doing. And I have gone right down the street in my car, minding my own business, and something would say, turn down this street. And guess what I find? Somebody who was someplace they had no business being.
Uh-huh.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, the term was always called intuition. And you know what? Next week,
it's not.
There's a lot of things that, you know, I get a lot of people that come up to me that do listen to the show. They just don't call in or chime in, but they listen. And they say, hey, I heard the show last week. I'm like, what? Yeah, you guys were talking about such and such stuff. I'm like, well, they must have heard it because they told me what they heard verbatim. And I'm like, okay. But I get folks who throw out ideals in a sense. One individual said something about, you ought to talk about when guys buy women's personal hygiene. I said, what? He said, yeah. On my other job, we had a conversation. This is a guy. About how many of y'all buy your lady's personal hygiene? I'm like, okay. He said, it was split, 50-50. 20 guys in the room, 10 said they have no problem with it. 10 of them said, no, they can't see themselves grabbing tampons and this and that and the other. Interesting little tidbits here. Why? Why is it an issue? It's a necessity, right? So if your wife asks you to go do the grocery shopping, oh, by the way, can you get this for me? Guys, do you feel embarrassed, you know, picking up a woman's product? I thought that was kind of interesting. Want to hear different points of view. And also, we have some other special guests that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. I've been busting my tail trying to get this scheduled because a lot of times, you know, we do our shows on Saturdays. These guests are performing on Saturdays most of the time. So it's really hard to get them in there on a Saturday when they're not on stage, especially at 6 p.m. or preparing to be on stage. So get ready for those things that are coming up.
Can I answer that? Can I answer what he just, the question that Officer Crenshaw just asked?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So real quick. So this gets under my skin. I'm just going to say I'm very passionate about this. So when somebody says it's female intuition, it's this and this and that, And so this is something that I think man came up with when in reality is what God gave you. God gave you the spirit to know when something's mm-hmm. not right. He gave you that spirit.
Right.
It's up to you to tap into that. It's up to you to decide to let the spirit work through you, or you want to work through your flesh. Which one is it? Because your flesh is going to get you in trouble all the time. But I promise you, your spirit is going to guide you in the right way and every time. So to answer to your question, we do have a superpower, but y'all also have a superpower, too, that y'all do not utilize because we're emotional. So we're the Philly people. Y'all are more the physical people, so that's why it doesn't resonate with you guys right away. It'll take you a minute to wear it with her. And let me say this real quick. I know you got to go. When your behavior changes, that's an even bigger clue to her. Because, see, a woman can walk in, and this is where I will say that women are better liars than men. A woman can be out all day with another man and come in the house and treat you exactly the same way she always has. But for you guys, for most, a lot of men, you'll be out there with another woman and come in and treat her like crap. And she'll be like, oh, so you've been with another woman?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this is what we're gonna do. This is what we're gonna do. Excuse me. This is what we're gonna do. No. I want Officer Crenshaw to be able to respond, but this is what we're gonna do. Since you opened up a can of whoop ass on I guess, or a can of worms, we're gonna discuss that what you just talked about next week. You know. What is the power of a woman? What powers do women? Because I heard the word power. Women's intuition. Women's intuition. But how did that come about? You have to look at, hold on. How did that come about? Because, see, a man is considered the king of the castle. So the man has to be, in charge of his home, right? But how can he be in charge of his home?
Think you're the king of the castle.
Hold on. No, wait a minute. The term is the man is the king of the castle. He is responsible. So we're gonna talk about that. So if you make these quotes and everything, how come now, I guess in today's society, it's a myth? Because basically, that's what I'm hearing. Officer Crenshaw, do you want to respond to what Cotton just said?
Oh, well, I had switched over to another line, but I didn't hear except what you were saying about the king of the castle. And that don't exist no more since Lorena Bobbitt came out.
Thank you.
So Lorena Bobbitt.
But you know what? If you live in godly and you put God first, you're going to be king of the castle. But when you're out there doing all kinds of dirt, you're not going to be king of the castle. So that's not necessarily true of saying a man is the king of the castle. If you're doing your part, you'll be king of the castle.
Let's do this. Okay, but I'm going to say this. Next week, let's talk about that. And just like it was said earlier in the show about I'm sorry, it wasn't said on this show. I heard on the show of where there was a term, there's a term where the customer is always right. And I heard this on another show. Let's look at these so-called terms that are really not true. The customer is not always right. If you pick up an item and it costs $50, and the customer says, well, today is $5. Is the customer right?
Nope.
No, but we believe that the customer is always right. We are told.
You just took it to the extreme, Michael. You know
Janet, hold on. I'm just saying, we're going to look at some of the terms, some of the sayings that we use to this day. I'm not saying that it's true, but we still use them, and we are still told that that is the belief. Many companies will say, remember that the customer is always right, you know, and this, anyway. That's not true. man is king of the castle. You just said, well, yeah, he is until he does this and the other. Let's examine and explore these terms that we share and that we hear every day. That's not really true.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. Let's look at a lot of them. Because
man
a lot
the
of
king
them
of the
are
castle
not true. That's what we're going to do next Saturday. We're going to make that one of the topics. We're going to examine false phrases. False phrases. That's what we're going to do. We're going to examine these false phrases that do not exist.
I like that.
That they're still being said.
I like that.
False phrases that it's not reality. It doesn't exist. It's not true. But we grew up being told these things. And which ones do really stand true? Let's look at both sides of it next Saturday, okay? I think we'll be interesting.
Can we talk about contradicting false phrases too? Because we have those out there.
Yeah. Contradictions? Yeah. You know, we're programmed. We're programmed to believe this, many other, but then sometimes we don't question, wait a minute, why is that? How come we have to believe that? That's not reality. That's not true. We never question it. We just abide by it. We believe it. We never question it.
So in other words, what you're saying is man has done to condition us, basically started off as a cult, and we're all conditioned just to believe whatever's being told to us, like the big lie.
Correct. In a way, yeah. And we have to question it, and we have to bring the light of where. Hold on now. We've been preaching this ever since we were kids. We were told these certain things ever since we were kids. And many of us, not many of us, but a lot of us are in our, you know, later stages in life, like in our 60s, 50s, 60s, and above. And we've heard these terms all our lives, and it's like, you ever questioned it? And then look at the reality of today. That's not true. It's not true. The customer is not always right.
Some of them are, like, don't
play
with fire.
Woman scorned. Yeah. Well, we're going to investigate all these. That's what I want us to do next Saturday, is look at all these terms that we've heard all our lives and look at the reality of them, the truth, the pros and cons, the truth of those, and talk about what do we really believe that stands, you know, to this day, and what is really fiction. It's not real. It's not the real world. So we'll do that next Saturday. I think that will be interesting. And I'm going to research every single one. Janet, I hope you help me. But we're going to research every single phrase. In fact, you know the one that says, have your cake and eat it too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found out just a few days ago, and we're going to get off air in a moment, but it was interesting that I saw where someone was saying interview of, well, if you look at what that the true statement of that was, is that where have your cake and eat it too. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too, because once you eat it, you don't have it anymore. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. You can't have a cake and eat it at the same time. At one point, if you eat it, you don't have it anymore. It's gone. So your choice is this: eat it or save it. Just these terms are really interesting. So we'll get into that next Saturday, you guys. Okay. Before we go, I definitely want to do one more thing.
Can I say what my favorite term is?
Sure.
Can I say what mine is?
Sure.
So you want to be a cowboy? I'm going to give you enough rope just to hang yourself.
I thought you were going to say, Janet, I thought you were going to say, till death do us part.
No.
Who going to die first?
That was till my
death
favorite
do us part. No, wait a minute. Now, that's a good one. Till death do us part. Well, which one of us going to die first? Because I ain't plan on dying before you. You know, it's like, we'll be together until death do us part. So who's going to die first?
Romeo and Juliet.
You know, we're going to definitely look at all the sayings and look at what they really mean. Oh, real quick, before we go, in fact, I'm going to close out on a song by an individual who was a guest on the show. And all due respect, when I heard his music, I was listening to it not through a good system, and I was kind of critical about it. But then when I finally put on my good headphones and listened to the instrumentation and the harmonies and everything, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is pretty damn good. And I've shared it with a lot of folks. Ishmael Sings has been a guest on our show here, and he is now, I think he's in the top, 15, on the UK charts. He's also being played in Africa, and the brother has some great music. You guys remember him being on the show, I'm pretty sure. And much support to him. We're going to continue to support him. And fortunately, I'm working with him trying to get some things moving for him. Great artist. And so I'm going to close out the show with his music. But before we go, Janet Davis, your last words, the lady of the house.
Well, just tune in next week to the Michael Gay Show, and you'll have a lot of surprises.
Oh, yeah. That one topic is going to be a killer. Cotton Campbell, your last words.
So tune in to Let's Talk About It every third Thursday of the month. I'm hoping to create another show with Michael's blessings that we can. I've been hit with some stuff, and people want to do a show with me. And I told him, I was like, well, I'll talk to the network owner and see what he says. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I'm looking forward to hearing what is coming this way. And more than likely, you know that we're open for great conversations and new talent on the networks. Officer Crenshaw.
Just want to tell everyone that I love you all, listeners, co-hosts, and hosts.
All right. Hey, you guys, thank you for tuning in to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. As you just heard, Cotton Campbell, every third Thursday, listen to Let's Talk About It with the ladies, with Cotton Campbell and the ladies of TMGN, every third Thursday. We love and appreciate your support. We're going to get out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed a great Saturday. Have a blessed Sunday, and we'll see you next week here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Going to close out with Ishmael Sings, and here's a song that is climbing this charts overseas, but it needs to be played everywhere. Hey, excuse me, DJ. Hello, everybody.
Night.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Why you standing here alone, looking so fly? Got me wondering who you came with. Maybe we can be friends, or we can have a fling, or you can be my main chick.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up, wait a minute, let me slow down. Girl, you just got my mind blown. I like know you, I'm just trying to get the jump on you. So maybe we can be alone.
Oh, yeah.
Not a fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you. Cause right now you got all eyes on me. Yeah. So do you mind if I take you on the floor so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, girl? Yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get drunk up with my shorty on the dance floor. Girl, we ain't gotta talk, we ain't gotta drink. All you gotta do is move that body. We gon' tear the floor up and get the club lit like it's a private party. It's unbelievable the way your body is calling for me. Yeah. So do you mind if I take you on the floor so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, baby, yeah? Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get burnt up with my shorty on the dance floor. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. I'm just trying to make a move, doing what I gotta do, just to get with you, baby. I'm just trying to make a move, make it do what it do, while I put you in the mood, baby. I'm just trying to make a move, doing what I gotta do, trying to get with you, baby. I'm just trying to make a move, doing what I gotta do, put my needle in the groove, baby. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Mr. DJ. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.